Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors.
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson is excused. Councilmember Shirley Dowdy.
Present.
Mayor Ronald Ertley.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein.
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn.
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan.
Here.
City staff Richard Marsh, City Manager Ashley Coronado, City Clerk Carrie Bagley, Interim Finance Director Andy Heratic, Public Works Director Alda Orduño, City Attorney.
Thank you very much. Tonight we're honored to have Ms. Terry Nudy deliver the invocation.
Have a little stool now. That's I'm coming up in the world. If you'll pray with me. Father God, we thank you for the beautiful day you've given us, and honestly, God, we just thank you for the beautiful month you've given us. This has been a wonderful October, and it's given us time to get a lot of things accomplished. Father, I thank you for these dedicated men and women that take care of our city and that do their very best to see that things are running smoothly. I thank you for each one of them. I ask you to bless them. Father, I also ask you for wisdom. We need wisdom from on high, Father, because it's not easy to run a little city and in this day and age, as you well know. So, Father, we thank you, and we just acknowledge you and ask for your wisdom in all decisions that are made. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Terry Nudy. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Tonight we have one proclamation, and so I'll read that. National Business Women's Week, in conjunction with the National Foundation of Business and Professional Women's Associations, and by the power vested in me, I, Ronald Ertley, Mayor of the City of Bisbee and the State of Arizona, do hereby proclaim this week of October the 17th through October the 21st to be declared and recognized as National Business Women's Week in the City of Bisbee, and urge our leaders of business, industry, education, and public affairs to join in the observance of the week by paying tribute to the many contributions made by all women in business and the professions. I want to present this to former Mayor Laverne Williams.
You have any privilege you would like.
Are you going to make it minutes?
No, you have all the time you need.
Hey,
Mayor Williams is going to have a few words.
The kids, can you hear me now? Mayor and council friends, I'm going to give you tonight a little bit of history. And to Ashley, she promised it will be recorded in the pages of time. And because of this particular history I'm going to give you tonight, you will see when I'm finished how important this history is for all of us. In the back of the room, I'm going to have Christine Rhodes stand. And all of you know her. Now my history starts with Christine. Now you may be seated because this is going to be long. Christine was in my Sunday school class when she was a kid at the Warren Community Church, just across the street here. And I watched her grow up through, of course, her grades, through high school, and on to college. And then she came back to Bisbee. And when she came back to Bisbee, she... And I didn't know she was political at that time, but she ran for the Cochise County Recorder Office. And she was a candidate, and she won her first term in 1972. Wow. Now you think how long ago that was. And then she ran again, and she won in 1976. But National Businesswoman's Week is always the third week in October. And by that time, I was in BPW, which is Business and Professional Women. And soon after being a member in 1962, I was immediately the chairman of National Businesswoman's Week. So here was my little Sunday school kid, had come back to Bisbee, won two elections, and she was still, to me, just a kid. And she was when we honored her as a woman of achievement in 1977. Christine was the youngest person ever elected to a Cochise County office. She still has that in her history. There has not been a younger person elected to any of the Cochise County offices in Cochise County. So that's what we named her for when we named her a woman of achievement, as the youngest person ever elected. So that is the history that I want to tell you about Christine and I. And we're in everything together. And to further my announcement, 39 years later, tonight, Bisbee Business and Professional Women are naming Christine Rhodes, not for anything less than 44 years of service to Cochise County. Seated. And when I say to you that she has given her dedicated and continuous service to all of us for 44 years, but to think that 39 years ago, I am now greeting her with this song. And gracious.
These phones are wonderful. Yes. Thank you.
That was indeed a privilege. Now, as you heard the proclamation, when the mayor said that our women of achievements are chosen from women at large in our community, and many sitting in this room tonight have been our women of achievement, even our news lady over there, and several. But our woman of the year is chosen from the membership. She is elected. And there again, when I tell you that I'm still the last member that remembers 39 years ago, I'm also the one that can keep a secret. Because all the members were to call Laverne and vote for the one of our peers who tonight we will be naming as our woman of the year. So, I have received those votes, and I have an announcement to make. Tonight, our woman of the year is Kathy Wright. Another thing I did tonight, I told a little white lie to get her to pick me up to be sure she would be here, because I am going to have some cataract surgery done, and I told her I was having a hard time driving at night. Would she pick me up? So I'm glad you did, because this is our Woman of the Year for BPW 2016-17. Now wait a minute. And I would like to have all of my BPW members that are here tonight please stand. I'm still not through.
You have all the time you need.
Well, this is an announcement. After we name our recipients, then we honor them with a banquet or a dinner so that people in the community, friends, family, relatives, or whoever, can come and share and further honor them. So listen carefully. You're all invited to join us at Cafe Roca Saturday, November the 19th, for a luncheon at 1 o'clock on the main floor of Cafe Roca. People like me cannot climb those stairs anymore to get up on that third floor. So it is going to be on the main floor. There will be limited seating, of course, and you must have a reservation. But anyone who knows these two wonderful ladies and would like to help join us in further honoring them, we invite you all to do so. Thank you, Mayor, for the time and for recording this. And like I say, anything that tells history and is recorded is not lost. So tonight I hope that I have given you a lot to be recorded in the pages of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Laverne Williams. Your presentation was extremely eloquent. Thank you.
I'll move my stool so someone else won't fall over it.
Next, we are going to go call to the public. We have a few people signed up. Let's start off with Cynthia Conroy.
Congratulations.
Mayor, council, and friends, as Laverne says. I had the word citizens. Friends sounds so much better, doesn't it? Laverne, I learn so much every time I'm around you. It just rubs off. It is with gratitude and happiness that I am here to thank the many who made the 26th annual Bisbee 1000, the Great Stair Climb, the Ironman Ice Competition, and the Craft Beer Festival a success. First, the 10 members of the Bisbee Vogue, Inc. Board of Directors. Next, the 1,500 participants, plus family and friends, joined by over 400 more beer drinkers, and the men and women of extreme athletic ability who do the Ironman Fire and Ice Competition. So you add that up, you get another, you know, almost 2,000 people. So including the people we don't count and who are in town anyway, we probably had 2,500 people, 3,000 people here this weekend. So it is awesome watching the joy of physical competition inspiring both fun and friendship. Next are sponsors: Freeport, Pepsi, Ace, Safeway, the Bisbee Daily Review, Cherry Creek Radio, Southwest Gas, Guild Mortgage, Bisbee Hospitality Group and Bisbee Coffee, Cochise College, both the Student Nursing Association and the men's and women's basketball team. Without those group of people, those sponsors, their staff that we're talking about, without all those hundreds of people, there would be no nationally recognized Bisbee 1000 where people came this year from as far away as Sweden. So, and I mean just to do this event, not just because they happen to be in town, because this event sold out on October 8th, and it sells out third year in a row. It is sold out a week to 2 weeks before the event. And this is without us trying to market it. This is a word-of-mouth phenomenon over the years, except for one award we won in Phoenix in its 20th year for being the greatest rural event that year in Arizona. We even beat out Tempe, Arizona. Did you know that Tempe was a rural area? Yeah, surprised me too. Anyway, so we're looking forward this year to marketing this event. And marketing the event, for me, means marketing the city of Bisbee, because without our dedicated board and my own personal interest in the city that, you know, I've chosen as my home for over 30 years, none of this would be happening. I guess you could say there is also, besides the college and all of its wonderful people there, there are 1,000 man hours of cleaning by the staff of Bisbee Vogue with the Department of Correction crews through the city of Bisbee and Public Works, making these stairs accessible again after a long winter's rain and summer's rain and whenever the rain happens, the monsoon season. Public Works, just, you know, you can't say enough. We're all very lucky, and we all know that we don't have enough of them. So I'm almost done. Laverne, can I have some of your time? Okay. Most importantly, let me mention that our safety and our security brought on by the Sheriff's Department, the Bisbee Police, and Bisbee Fire is why the Bisbee 1000 has never had any kind of serious issue forever. So our fire, our police, our Sheriff's Department, this is their chance to shine. They help us make it happen every year. There is also the icing on the cake, we call it, which seems to be a tradition that started last year, and it's 25th annual. This is the shirt.
Ms. Conroy.
It went on this year, and going on, this is the last statement. Jesus. Thank God. Okay, so Martha McSally sang the national anthem. Sorry you missed it. You can see it online. So in the words of one of our former speakers, it was a magnificent day. Thank God.
Thank you, Cynthia Conroy. Well done. Next, let's go to, we have two people, actually, Cassie Ruffo and Cynthia Aspengren. Well, we practiced before the session.
Mr. Mayor, Council, and friends, what a great word. We realized that we were remiss in letting you all know what we do for our community. We both work for the Cooperative Extension at the University of Arizona. We heard that last council meeting, people didn't know that there was nutrition education in our communities. We do nutrition education in the communities for everybody, and all of our services are free. We do for senior citizens, moms, pregnant women. We go into the schools. We are in community centers. We help. We partner with hospitals, with the health department. 4-H. 4-H is out of our office, and they also do nutrition education. So we just wanted to make sure that you knew we are here. Cooperative Extension was started 101 years ago by the land-grant colleges. And to get that information, the farming information, out to the farmers, rather than the farmers coming in, and it's expanded. So this is what our expansion looks like: Master Gardeners, WaterWise program, and, of course, our favorite job, talking about food and nutrition, as well as physical activity.
Absolutely. Just to capitalize a little bit on that information, we work and we've been very successful and very proud of our partnership with Houston Unified School District for the past 15 years. We have what's called a memo of understanding, and we provide technical assistance, we provide nutrition lessons. Of course, most of our work is from the Nutrition Sciences program from the University of Arizona. It's well-researched, well-founded. We're following right now a catch curriculum, and I'm really honored to work with Lowell Junior High, and I've been extremely honored to be guided and being supported by the new superintendent of the Bisbee School System by the name of Thomas Woody. If you've not met the man, you need to go and meet the man. He's brilliant. He's well aware of nutrition, wellness, and fitness in the students throughout Bisbee Unified School Districts. We're honored to work with you folks, and we're happy to help out in any way we can, completely free.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Cassie Ruffo and Cynthia Espengren. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that.
The information we've got out
is... We'd love to have it. Cassie and Cynthia, thank you very much. Appreciate your efforts. Next, we're going to go to Allison Williams.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, City Manager, City Attorney, City Staff, and everybody. Hi. My name is Allison Williams. I live in Old Bisbee. I'm the program coordinator at the Copper Queen Library. Just a couple of things coming up and happening. One is that our pumpkin, our artist pumpkin contest deadline has been extended to Friday. For all of you who just needed a little bit more time, please make your pumpkin and bring it into the library. It's a $100 prize. A quick update on our collaboration with the BUSD. Phase one was putting library cards, library registration forms in particular, in every registration packet in all three schools, and so putting library cards into the hands of our students. And we have, I think, hit 200 new library cards just in youth under the age of 18. Our phase two has been implemented, which is that we have established a official database incorporating our databases and what the teachers, parents, and students all look for. It's on our website, which is the BUSD.gov website, but you can also put in copperqueenlibrary.com, and it directs to us. It's a official BUSD page, and part of having a library card is that you have your unique username is your barcode, and your four-digit PIN code is on the back of that card. And that PIN allows you to use a lot of our online resources, including audiobooks, downloading them, movies, online magazines. But a lot of our youth from the summer reading program, they all got library cards this summer. And so anyways, they have access to a lot of information. They can use the library while they're in school at home. Their parents can also go online and say, oh, this is the resource I can use. So it's really exciting working with the BUSD. And so what I wanted to tell you guys about is we have a fundraiser coming up called Personal Paperback. And this is a fundraiser that John Charlie, who is a photographer, has been working on this project for several years, documenting paperback books that are owned by people. And part of his project is the book as an object, as a physical object, and the person who owns it. It's a show, 40 photographs, Cafe Roca. Tickets are $20. It benefits children literacy and the Friends of the Copper Queen Library. They're on sale at the library, Busy Office Supply, and High Desert Market. Thank you so much.
Allison Williams, thank you. You're doing a good job. Next we have Mr. Keith Pennis, and he's the chairman of the City of Bisbee Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm happy to see you. I've been here almost 9 years now, next month. Nobody probably cares, you know, but it has nothing to do with what I come here to talk about tonight, but I'm just really, I'm glad to be here, and I'm proud to chair the Bisbee P&Z Commission. And that is what I came to talk about tonight. On Thursday, there is going to be a public hearing in this room, 6 o'clock, to hear the Border Cities Land Corporation, Scott Reese, the proposal to rezone the area around the parking lot. You've probably heard about this. If you haven't, I'm here to tell you about it. the proposal is basically to rezone that area to allow them to build a hotel there. And if that happens, it will be probably the biggest new development that anyone can remember. Decades, generations since there's been anything proposed on that scale. So I've talked to people that are for it. I've talked to people that are against it. Regardless of your opinion about it, it's a big deal. And there's going to be a couple of public hearings. I don't know how many the council will have to go through. We're going to be on our second one. I was informed today that there was some talk that maybe it was going to be tabled to a future meeting, so I understand that that's out there being discussed with people. So I came here tonight to let everybody, if there is any doubt, and let you know. I just double-checked on the agenda on my phone. It is item one this Thursday. So it is on the agenda. It will be heard this week. If members of the council, particularly those from Ward 1, I would strongly encourage you to be there, and really anyone else, any members of the public, this is important, and if you have anything to say about it, if you have any input about it, this is your chance. Being a Facebook warrior notwithstanding, the world is run by the people that show up to the meetings where decisions are made. So if you feel strongly, or if you just want to come listen and watch, we will be meeting here on Thursday at 6 p.m. And I thank you for your time, Mr. Mayor and Council.
Thank you, Mr. Keith Dennis, Chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission. I also would mention that Judy Anderson is also present tonight from the Planning and Zoning Commission. So I believe that concludes call to the public. So we will now move on to item number one. That's accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $365,422.86.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $365,422.86. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda, items A through F, and I will read those. A, approval of the appointment of Sharon Stetter to the Bisbee Arts Commission. B, approval of the appointment of Alexandria Phillips to the Youth Council. C, approval of the park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of Vista Park for a Halloween bash and movie in the park on Saturday, October the 29th, 2016, from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. D, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by the Bisbee Radio Project Incorporated, KBRP, for an event to be held at the Bisbee Royale, 94 Main Street, Bisbee, Arizona, on Friday, November the 4th, 2016, from 4 p.m. to 11:59 p.m., Ryan Bruce, applicant. E, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by the Bisbee Radio Project, INC, KBRP, for an event to be held at the Bisbee Royale, 94 Main Street, Bisbee, Arizona, on Friday, November the 11th, 2016, And Saturday, November the 12th, 2016, from 4 p.m. to 11:15, Ryan Bruce, applicant.
Mayor?
Yes.
Would it be possible to remove D and E for discussion?
D through F?
No, just D and E.
We can do that. I'll read through those and then we'll call those off. F, approval of the special event liquor license application submitted by the Friends of the Warren Ballpark for an event to be held at 300 Rupee Avenue, Bisbee, Arizona, on Saturday, December the 10th, 2016, from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A, B, C, and F.
I'll do a second on that. We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda, items A through C and F. Any comments? No comments. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Councilmember Klein.
I just a couple of questions. It doesn't say what these events are for and how many people they're expecting, because it does say that they will have six security personnel. So I was just wondering.
Okay, we have Allison Williams that's obviously connected to KBRP Radio.
Hi, my name is Allison Williams. I'm a volunteer at KBRP. Ryan's moderating a debate tonight between Tom Holtz and his opponent. Friday, November 11th and Saturday, November 12th are the Side Pony Music Festival that will be taking place all around town. Those are music venues and bands all day and night for that entire weekend. All the events are free. The Bisbee Royale, KBRP is donating that space to Side Pony and having bands there as part of the festival. However, they're requesting a liquor license. The security is being provided in part by the festival simply because of the amount of people who will be in town that weekend. It's not that it's anything other than that a lot of people come into town that weekend. And November 4th, Friday, I believe, is the night before the Mariachi Festival. And we'll be in conjunction with the Mexican Consulate and El Dia de los Muertos and celebrating Mexican culture that evening with the Mexican Consulate and performers. Is there any other questions?
Any other questions?
No, it generally stays.
Councilmember Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. And to get the beer and wine license to sell beer and wine in raising money for the non-prop for the Royale facility and just to try to keep funds coming in.
Exactly. Yeah. The Royale, we just celebrated 1 year in that space and trying to open up our doors to as many community events as possible. Thank you, Gene.
Yeah.
And really trying to pay the bills, which it is a very large space. And as much as we can, donate the space or work with other organizations and entities and individuals to facilitate community events, this is one of the ways we can do it.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve item D and E. Do I need to read them both? Okay. I'll do them both then. Approve. D, approve a special event liquor license application submitted by Bisbee Radio Project Incorporated for an event to be held at the Bisbee Royale, 94 Main Street, Bisbee, Arizona, on Friday, November 4th, 2016, from 4 p.m. till 11:59 p.m. And E, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by Bisbee Radio Project Incorporated for an event to be held at the Bisbee Royale, 94 Main Street, Bisbee, Arizona, on Friday, November 11th, 2016, and Saturday, November 12th, 2016, from 4 p.m. to 11:59 p.m.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve items D and E of the consent agenda. No further comments. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three, presentation to Step Up Bisbee, NACO on cleanup efforts. Elda Orduño, City Attorney, City of Bisbee.
Good evening, Mayor and Council and friends. The city has been looking for ways to clean up Bisbee, residences, buildings, things of that nature. And I'm happy to present Mr. Grady Meadows, who has led this effort through Step Up Bisbee and NACO, as well as Joe Ward. He is the city's liaison for Step Up Bisbee NACO. So if Mr. Meadows will step up to the podium and give the council a little bit, a little information on their efforts.
Hello, everybody. We're an organization called Rebuilding Together, but we dropped Rebuilding Together and formed our own local Bisbee organization called Step Up Bisbee. And we help work on houses, rehab houses of the elderly, the low-income, and handicapped people. And we actually have a build day. Every 1 year we have a big build day. This year it was October 1st, and it was 75 volunteers. And we did 10 big projects. We have a grant from Simpatico for $25,000. It's the largest amount of money they gave to any organization. And in that build day, we spent about $10,000. So we're actually working. We just decided that we're going to have sometime in May another build day. It's going to be a smaller build day. And we, so we'll have, we're getting applications from people that need their houses worked on. And if there's emergency, like heat, we're really concentrating on mostly elderly people that need heat in their houses, that have need roof repair, emergency electrical work, or emergency plumbing work. By all means, you make sure that if you know anybody, we're trying to get the word out. We have money to help these people in these emergency situations. And then on another build day in May, we're going to do a lot more remodeling for people. But in the meantime, it's going to be concentrating on keeping people comfortable with heat and safety issues. So we have our applications out in many different places, Ace Hardware, the B&D, the Bisbee Office Supply, the co-op. We're going to give the applications, we're going to target the ministers in town, and so they can tell their flock about what we do. We really want to target people in need, and that's what we're here for. They don't have anywhere else to turn to. We get a lot of our work from the building inspector, Joe Ward. He's out there in the community, finds people that really need our help, and so we get a lot of applications from Joe, the building inspector. So we're really teaming up with the city of Bisbee. We team up with the Bisbee High School. They're trying to turn their high school shop class into more practical skills for their kids to learn. So computers and all that, of course, are so important. But if somebody has a plumbing repair or electrical repair, they're not going to go to India, you know, to outsource this to get their work done. So we teamed up with a Bisbee High School, and the kids are going to be working on our projects. The shop teacher is going to get permission from the high school to have the kids work on our projects and learn practical building skills. We're teaming up with the Bisbee Bloomers. We built one on October 1st. We did big job at the Vare House, the alcohol recovery house, and the homeless shelter. But the Vare House, we decided that it needed some sprucing up. And so they built some really big planters. We helped them build some big planters. And Bisbee Bloomers is going to go in there and teach them how to plant in these planters and beautify their poor house that they have down there. We have in the past teamed up with a community garden here in Warren, and the Rotary we've teamed up with, WaterWise Project we've teamed up with. So we like to be all-inclusive and have everybody part of our organization and helping the town of Bisbee. So that's who we are, and we're here. Please, if you know anybody that needs our help, by all means, get an application. You can always get an application online. And we're trying to put these applications out everywhere so people know about us. And that's our mission, to be make people in this town safe and comfortable in their houses. So that's it.
Mr. Grady Meadows, thank you very much. This is certainly a noble effort that you're involved in on behalf of the Mayor and Council staff and the community. I want to say thank you very much. Councilmember Dunn.
Yes, I'd like to make some comments. Grady and I have been talking about an opportunity to expand funding for this effort dramatically. And that is, I think, unknown to many people. The Arizona legislature has created a tax credit, not a tax deduction, but a tax credit for donations to, they call it, qualified charitable organizations that benefit the low income. This last legislative session, they increased that tax credit from $200 to $400 per person, $800 per family. And again, I want to restate that this is a tax credit, which means it comes off once you calculate your tax bill and you determine how much you owe. This removes dollar for dollar your donation from that tax obligation. If you have a refund coming, you in essence would get an additional refund for the amount of that donation. You also, in addition for getting dollar for dollar off your tax bill, that same deduction can be also taken on your itemized federal income tax. So it really is a huge, huge, it's kind of almost unbelievable opportunity for individual citizens, but also for the community. I made an interesting little calculation, and that is if you take all the persons in Bisbee who paid Arizona sales or Arizona income tax last year, multiply that by $400, which is the maximum tax credit you can receive, what is the result? $800,000 that could be available to support property rehabilitation and cleanup in this community. And this is something we've talked about. We had work sessions here at the council in terms of how do we deal with people who for various reasons are not able to care for their properties and other needs in terms of the low income. So I would really, Grady and I have been talking, certainly tax time is coming. Step Up needs to be registered with the Arizona Department of Revenue to make this fully legal. Certainly they fully qualify, and we need to really do a blitz between now and tax time to ensure that everybody take a benefit of this. And this is in addition to, many of us are familiar with the tax credit for schools, in which people can give up to $200, $400 for family. This is $400, $800 per family, and is something that is a tax benefit that's not just for the wealthy, but us common individuals, and certainly has an opportunity here to make some dramatic amount of money to further, again, property rehabilitation and cleanup with a focus on our low-income and disabled individuals. So hopefully you're going to hear more from us on this.
Any other comments from the council?
No?
Once again, to all those concerned, thank you very much on that particular issue. Item number four, discussion of possible approval of the appointment of Finance Director Kerry Bagley as City Treasurer. Mr. Richard Marsh, City Manager, City of Bisbee.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mayor. I come before you to ask for your consideration of appointing our Finance Director Kerry Bagley as City Treasurer. Kerry Bagley has been the lead accountant with the City of Bisbee since 2013. She has a master's degree in accounting from the University of Phoenix. She graduated magna cum laude. She also has a bachelor's degree in accounting and a minor in business administration from the University of Maryland University College. She also graduated with summa cum laude. She has a third degree, associate's degree, from the Community College of Corning, Community College, in New York. She also has 13 years of experience in business management, to include accounting and budget management. She has over 3 years of experience, as I have said earlier, with the City of Bisbee as a lead accountant. And also, she's functioned as an interim finance director for the finance department in the director's absence. Finally, more importantly, Carrie fits into the culture that we are trying to, no matter how good you are, you always can do better. And so we're creating a culture here where people and our staff and our team feel appreciated, feel validated, feel that they're respected. We also feel that you can show love, compassion, and care for your fellow worker. And we also believe you can be a good person and still get good things done. I believe you can be good and still do well and have results. And from what I've understand from other team members in her department and throughout the organization, Carrie is well respected, and she is a valuable asset to the City of Bisbee team. And I ask your favorable consideration of appointing her as the treasurer for the City of Bisbee.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh, City Manager. Any questions from the council? We do have one person signed up. We have Donna Pulling.
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Donna Pulling. I live in Bisbee, and I do have a few questions regarding the appointment of Carrie Bagley to the Office of City Treasurer. The city charter designates two positions that are required by statute that must be approved by council. That's the city clerk and the city treasurer. And section 4.03 in the city charter defines the appointment and duties as such. The city manager, with approval of the council, shall appoint an officer with the title of city treasurer. The city treasurer shall receive and have custody of all of the money of the city, and shall keep and have said money and disperse the same only as provided by law, and who shall always be bound by the Constitution, the laws of the state, the charter, and ordinances of the city. Legal garnishments may be served upon him. That piqued my interest as to what the laws of the state regarding city treasurers were, so I Googled it. You can find a lot out on Google. And it led me to Title 35 of these Arizona Revised Statutes regarding public finance. Title 35 of the Arizona Revised Statute consists of 300 pages of rules and regulations. As our city manager has expressed, I believe that Carrie is a good employee, and she has been working with the City of Bisbee since April of 2013. However, she has had no previous government experience with providing this level of responsibility. And I also have a question regarding why her resume was not included in your packet, and why were there no other candidates that perhaps were considered for this position to be filled as city treasurer. I would also like to refer to an email from Mr. Marsh regarding the treasurer that was delivered on August 16th to our previous finance director, Sharon Bono, and where he says, regarding the financial issues mentioned in your memo to me dated August 16th, which pertain to the audit, having served as the city manager for four different municipalities, I am fully aware of the magnitude and importance of financial audits and how much effort it takes to prepare one.
I'm going to interrupt just for a quick moment. I think we're off topic.
This is on topic. I'd like to finish this statement.
Ms. Ordino, do you have an opinion on that?
I'd like to just finish this statement. It says, in fact, the budget of $7.4 million, with a budget of $7.4 million, you have more than adequate staff to handle that task. I believe that the treasurer being in charge of the city's finances, the city's money, should be one with more experience in dealing with these kinds of finances. And so I am recommending that the council vote against appointing Ms. Bagley as interim city treasurer and instead direct the city manager to explore the options of preparing an intergovernmental agreement with the county or perhaps the city of Douglas to act as interim city treasurer until a new permanent finance director is hired. Thank you.
Thank you. Donna Pulling. Any questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
Well, no. Actually, I have a
council member Connors
question. It could be a question. And coming from me, historically, that I've been... Anyway, the last, Sharon Bono and Dee Flanagan, they both were finance directors and treasurers, correct? And let's say that we did hire the city, the county, or somebody isn't currently an employee. There would be an additional salary or some sort of payment that would, for them to be and act as our treasurer. So is this more just a convenience, or I think it's the intimacy that they do work with the budget. What with the intimacy that they work with the budget that historically, at least as long as I've been around, since Dee Flanagan, that it just was traditionally what was done. Having said all that, has anybody else been considered for the treasurer that is currently employed by the city of Bisbee? I guess they could look. Is there anybody else that you consider?
I'd like to
anyone
stand
else?
Up and ask if I could.
Certainly.
I've been sitting all day, so I'd like to stand up.
Okay. Mr. Richard Marsh, Jr., city manager.
There's a couple of things that came up. One, has anyone else been considered? I looked at the urgency of having this position filled with the audit preparation ongoing. Two, with the 5-year budget forecast that we are planning to bring before you within the next 45 days. Three, we also have the budget projections that we have in our budget right now, which I feel we need to monitor very closely. We need someone internally that has the background and expertise to do that, and Kerry is the one within the department that's been doing that over the last 3 years with the system with other team players in the department. For her familiarity, as the point came up, with our history and also with our budget, mm-hmm. is very important. We're going to be planning for our next fiscal year around January of this coming year, so the timing is very important. The process that I use is no different than your last city manager used when they appointed Ms. Bono as the finance director, as well as the treasurer, mm-hmm. with the approval of the mayor and the council. The job description that we have for the finance director clearly states that the finance director shall be the chief financial officer of the city and the city treasurer, of course, yes, the charter does say, with the approval of the council.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the appointment of Finance Director Kerry Bagley as City Treasurer.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the appointment of Finance Director Kerry Bagley as City Treasurer. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 5, discussion and possible approval of an agreement between Arizona Department of Housing Office of Manufactured Housing and the City of Bisbee to enforce installation standards. Mr. Joe Ward, Building Inspector, City of Bisbee.
Mayor and Council. Every 5 years, our agreement, our intergovernmental agreement between the city and the Arizona Office of Manufactured Housing expires, and we sign a new one. And that's what time it is right now. And we make very little money off of it, but it does give us a little control over this issue. I recommend it to you.
Any questions or comments from the council?
Yes, Mayor.
Council Member Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. Is this just for installation of brand new homes?
If somebody were to move a used manufactured home into the city, it would be for that also.
But it's not. But it doesn't. This isn't you going in and inspecting and asking them to bring things up to code.
No.
That would be a whole other issue, right?
This is the enforcement of. The state has their own standards that are established for the installation of manufactured homes.
Thanks, Joe.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
Nobody. I move to approve the agreement between Arizona Department of Housing, Office of Manufactured Housing, and the City of Bisbee to enforce installation standards.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the agreement between Arizona Department of Housing, Office of Manufactured Housing, and the City of Bisbee to enforce installation standards. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 6, discussion and possible approval of a notice of intent to adopt Ordinance O-16-05, amending Chapter 11 of the Bisbee City Code, entitled Parks and Recreation, Library, and Providing for Repeal and Severability. Mr. Andy Heratic, Public Works Director, City of Bisbee.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor and Council. What I have before you is, let me just tell you about this and how it got started. As you know, we have a new library director and some new staff members at the library. So the library director, unbeknownst to any of us, called the fire chief and offered and made the proposal that the library be able to take cans of food during the holiday season. Christmas was what the conversation was initially about, and transfer those fines into food for people here in town. We went back and we initially asked for that. I talked with the city attorney, and we made some changes to this code so the library can possibly act as a conduit, maybe in Thanksgiving, of course, with your permission. But we are asking for your permission this year to collect food for fines at the library and then donate that food to the fire department for their Christmas baskets, for their Christmas food baskets. So as the ordinance says, is that if you have a $3.10 fine, you'll have to bring in 4 cans of food. We'll round everything up to the next dollar because it's pretty enough, easy enough to get a can of food for under a buck, to tell you the truth. If you're getting green beans on sale, they're about 50 cents. So this is something that offers that the library suggested they do to help the city at Christmas time. So you know, we have a small library, and what they can do is limited. But I thought this was a big gesture by them. And I will tell you that the fire chief was, I thought he was going to cry. I thought he was so honored that and felt so proud that he was being respected by other agencies in the city, that when Mark said at our department head meeting and said it, he kind of like teared up on us almost. Mm-hmm. So it's a big deal, I think, and he was very, very, very honored. So I'm asking that you take it in your hearts to approve this, and that every time we want to make a change, we will, of course, come to Mayor and Council so that we can do food fines.
Any questions or comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the notice of intent to adopt Ordinance 0-16-05, amending Chapter 11 of the Bisbee City Code, entitled Parks and Recreation, Library, and Providing for Repeal and Severability.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the notice of intent to adopt Ordinance O-16-05, amending Chapter 11 of the Bisbee City Code, entitled Parks and Recreation, Library, and Providing for Repeal and Severability. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Doughty?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor
Irby?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Heratic and Allison. Thank you. Item number 7, discussion and possible approval of a notice intent to adopt Ordinance O-16-06, amending Chapter 9, Article 9.5 of the Bisbee City Code entitled Fluoride in City Water System and Providing for Repeal and Severability. This was placed on the agenda by Councilmembers Hansen and Connors. Councilmember Hansen is not here. I would defer, if you would like, to Councilmember Connors.
Well, I think we spoke in length. Thanks, Mayor. Excuse me. I think we spoke in length on this 2 weeks ago or so. And if anybody else would like to speak to this agenda item, I'd defer to them first, and then I'll say what I want to say later. Thank you.
We have no one signed up for item number 7. We do have some people signed up for item number 8, but not item number 7. So,
no?
I don't have... Mr. Harris, you're certainly welcome to speak on number 7 if you so desire, but your number is right here, number 8 on my list here.
I have no more to say other than, you know, we spoke for quite a while.
Mayor, can we go to table, or can we possibly go to 8 and then 7?
I would just assume stay the order that we're in right now. I don't see a problem with that. Is that Ms. Kohanic? Okay.
It seems there might be some confusion, and I would like to see if we could discuss 8, if there's no reason not to, first, because we came here to discuss the petitions, but it might affect what you're deciding in number 7. So.
Ms. Ordino, do you have a thought on that by chance?
It's completely up to Mayor and Council.
I'll just leave it up to Council. Any comments on that, how you would like to do that?
Well, who made the agenda? Who wrote it up in that order?
Yeah.
I'm just asking.
Well, I will say to Ms. Kohanic and Mr. Harris that this is the first reading of that ordinance. There has to be two readings on it, of course. Is there any thoughts on the Council, whether you'd like to move item number 8 in front of item number 7?
Well, wouldn't this be just the second reading of
yeah.
the ordinance?
Well, it would have to be a second reading on it, of course. I just assume keep it in the order that it's in. Okay. So any other comments or thoughts on this item number 7? Do we have a motion?
I move that we table this item.
We have a motion to table the item, but it fails because of a lack of a second. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the notice of intent to adopt Ordinance O-16-06, amending Chapter 9, Article 9.5 of the Bisbee City Code entitled Fluoride in City Water System, and provide for repeal and severability.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments?
I'm sorry, but just to clarify, the issue before the ordinance proposal or the change right now before Mayor and Council is to reduce the amount of fluoride. So I just want to get that motion clear.
I agree. I understand what you're saying. We need to restate the motion. You want to withdraw the previous motion, and we'll redo that motion. I forgot who made the motion.
Okay. You want me to put the actual number? Reducing it from
we have a proposed motion.
Do we need to? Okay,
it's lengthy.
I move that we dismiss the last.
Thank you. Previous motion withdrawn.
Does it need to be voted on?
No, we need to make a new motion.
I move that we approve the notice of intent of to adopt Ordinance O-16-06, amending Chapter 9, Article 9.5 of the Bisbee City Code entitled Fluoride in the City Water System, to reduce the amount of fluoride added to the city water from 1 part of fluoride per million parts of water to 0.07 of a part of fluoride per million parts of water.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the notice of intent to adopt Ordinance O-16-06, amending Chapter 9, Article 9.5 of the Bisbee City Code entitled Fluoride in the City Water System to reduce the amount of fluoride added to the city water from one part of fluoride per million parts of water to 0.7 of a part of fluoride per million parts of water. Any other comments? No other comments? Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Daddy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Wish to abstain.
Mayor Early?
I didn't understand what Councilmember
said. I'm abstaining.
An abstention vote, correct me if I'm mistaken, Ms. Orduno, is an aye vote.
As an aye vote?
You can abstain, but it's an aye vote if you do that. Am I correct?
I think that's true, according to the charter.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. So, aye. Okay. Motion passes unanimously then. Item number 8, discussion and possible direction to staff on a petition received from Jeff Harris regarding Article 9.5 of the City Code, fluoride in the city water system. And at this point in time, I will refer this to Mr. Jeff Harris. Also signed up is Maggie Kohanic. So, Mr. Harris.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Now that you have addressed the issue of lowering the mandated level of fluoride, I wish to stress that the 400 or so signers of the petition have not requested a debate on the merits of fluoridating the city's tap water supply. Rather, they have simply requested that mandatory universal fluoridation be suspended until such time as residents are given a means of opting out. That is, until such time as the mayor and council respect the fundamental right of every individual to make one's own decision over one's choice of medication. Accordingly, any attempt to turn the mayor and council's consideration of the petition at hand into a debate regarding the value that some residents might receive from one-dose-fits-all delivery of sodium fluoride through the water supply is simply off-topic and therefore inappropriate. The sole issue at hand is whether the mayor and council will continue to mandate in an Orwellian fashion the universal administration of medication through the public water supply to every one of the residents regardless of personal circumstance, or whether the mayor and council will defer to the basic right of every individual to tailor one's own personal medication to meet one's own specific needs. Thank you.
Just a quick comment. A part of your petition process, A was removal of the fluoride from the water, but in the alternative, you suggested that the fluoridation be lowered to the Department of Human Health and Human Services' current standard of 0.7 parts per million.
Well, I believe the petition state that it asked for a means of opting out, and in the absence, to suspend the fluoridation of the water until such time as you can arrive at a means to allow this opting out.
Let me state my position on this. The council has already begun to act with the first reading of an ordinance in accordance with a suggestion recommendation from the United States Department of Health and Human Services to reduce the fluoride level from 1 part per million to 0.7 part per million in the Bisbee water system. And even though this does not meet Mr. Harris's request to rescind Article 9.5 of the City Code, the action the council is taking does incorporate Mr. Harris's alternative request along with the United States Department of Health and Human Services suggestion / recommendation to reduce the fluoride level to 0.7 parts per million. So I think that clarifies where I'm at anyway on this particular issue.
But that's not, it was not an alternative request. These were two requests. One of them you have already met by addressing the issue. And I thank you for that. But it says here that a means be provided for opting out, especially for those whose risk of harm from supplemental fluoride exceeds that of the general population or whose potential benefit is minimal, or both. This is the meat of the argument, that we be given a choice to opt out, and if you have no means of doing that, to suspend fluoridation altogether. Thank you.
Councilmember Connors, did you have a comment?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Do we know what the naturally occurring level parts per million of fluoride is in the water that shows up at the tank prior to the introduction of this public health?
I can address that, Your Honor.
I'm asking the mayor.
It is very, very low here. However, in the, I would say, I'm not a geologist or scientist, but in the upper, I would say the upper watershed over in the Sierra Vista area, it comes to a area, comes to about a level of 0.4 parts per million. But here it's extremely low. And Mr. Mousy, I hope I'm saying that correctly. Would you want to address the levels that we have here? It's extreme. No, it's extremely low. I'm not even sure in this area it's if it's even 0.1 part per million. Mr. Mousy, would you want to come up?
I have a number as well.
I'd like to hear it from Mr. Mousy.
May I speak, Your Honor, and
Mayor,
provide the information?
I think
that
I got
the.
Go ahead, then we'll have Mr. Mousy.
In the penultimate report to the ADUQ from Arizona Water, in which there was a.
So what's the number, Jeff? Jeff, I'm just asking for the number. I don't need all the exposition.
Please have respect for the people who speak here.
Talk about respect. I asked a question, and then you ran back up to the podium.
Okay, we're getting a little out of order here.
And, Mayor, I'd like Mr. Mousy to tell me the number, since Mr. You know, I don't need to hear
all
the exposition.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Mr. Harris, go ahead and finish. You were the petitioner. Go ahead and finish. Then we'll have Mr. Mousy come up.
I asked you the question, Mayor, not Mr. Harris.
Well, I think I gave you an answer. It's extremely low here, the natural fluoride.
But there's a number, and that's what I was groping for.
We're going to get there. Be patient, Mr. Councilmember Connors. Go ahead, Mr. Harris.
I may continue. In that survey, I believe it was from 2006, the number given for the fluoride in the water at that time was 0.1 parts per million. So my interpretation is that even with fluoride added, as it was supposed to have been at that time, the natural level cannot exceed that 0.1 parts per million. It is, as you say, very, very low.
Mr. Mousy.
Cannot or will not.
Mr. Mousy from the Arizona Water Company. And thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Jeff's pretty close. It's 0.18 at one well, and then it ranges up to 0.24 at the four wells down at the Nacogdoches.
Thank you.
So, but just a moment. Mr. Harris said it cannot exceed.
That's the natural occurring fluoride in the water.
Okay. Thanks. That was the number I was looking for. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So Mayor, if we lowered that to six, you know, if we went down and added less fluoride. To get it, you know, so that it's at 7 and not slightly above 7. Could we do that?
Well, possibly. Let me have Mr. Mousy come back up again.
Until we eventually get to 0.
I believe, and, you know, I'm not an expert on this, but we have approximately 0.1 part per million, more or less, maybe slightly more. So when we add the fluoride, it comes up to 0.7. That includes the 0.1?
Yes.
Okay. So it's inclusive in the 0.7, Council. Does that help? Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
If you wanted to remove the fluoride, you'd have to do RO treatment, which is very expensive.
Well, we're not responsible for what you know God put in the water or you know what's in the wells. So you know that's still going to be there.
I believe Council Member Sullivan, you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Joe Mousy, what...
It's Mousy, by the way.
Mousy? Okay, Mousy, thank you. What is the naturally occurring water fluoridation level in Sierra Vista?
I right now couldn't answer that.
Okay.
I can find out what it is in Sierra Vista for Arizona Water.
Yeah, that's what I was curious. Just
probably a little higher, but I don't...
Since Sierra Vista doesn't fluoridate.
Well, as long as you're asking... May I, Mayor?
It was Councilmember Connors.
You know what Pomeranz fluoride level is?
Pomeranz, no, but my family grew up in St. David, and they had all molded teeth from too much fluoride in the water. So.
Oh, it's extremely high.
In St. David, yes.
Yeah.
Douglas was Purville 9.0.
Exactly.
Natural occurring fluoride in the water.
Right. Thank you. I think I digressed.
We have Mr. Mousy. Thank you. We might have to call you back up again.
I've just been going on it. I've been working with Serena and them since 2013 on the Sustainability Commission. So.
Well, one item that that I ran across, there was three cities in America that doesn't have to put fluoride in the water, and there's probably lots more, just three that I ran across, Jacksonville, Florida, El Paso, Texas, and Colorado Springs, Colorado, because they have enough of the natural fluoride in the water.
Right, and they used to add fluoride, and when they lowered it down, they quit adding fluoride because of natural occurring fluoride in the water.
Yeah.
Pirtleville, isn't that what you just said,
9.0, yes. Yeah.
Well, we have one more speaker to come forward. That's Maggie Kohanic.
Thank you, Mayor and Council and friends. I like that term also. I think that we've seen in just the two meetings that we've had that this whole issue on fluoride is very controversial, and people don't know what to vote on sometimes. But we have signatures of 400 people. And I would ask the council, isn't that a large number of signatures to come from our community and to be asking for something to be done about fluoride? Isn't that a big concern and a large showing that there's an active group that if they're asked in person with a petition, they will sign to take fluoride out of the water? So isn't that a huge thing to show the council that 400 people over a few months have signed and wanted to have us look at fluoride as an issue, and they would like to have the option to opt out, and that's what was signed on the signatures. And that's why I came tonight, because I thought that's what was going to be discussed, was the petition itself. Last week when we met, it was, is fluoride good, is fluoride bad, is fluoride good, is fluoride bad? Well, we couldn't come to that decision in one meeting. There are so many times that I've worked on this issue myself and with the community, and no one can come up with a decision. It's really a big issue for a community. We've been doing it for 25 years. We've just gotten 400 signatures to say, please look at this issue, and please look at taking it out of the water. That's huge. Please don't pass on this by saying, oh, well, we lowered it, so we took care of what the people want. The people have spoken in this petition. That's a lot of signatures. You've asked experts. Experts came to the table last time. Dentists. A lot of people are depending on dentists to tell us the truth. Well, guess what? Mercury has been in our mouths for a long time, and dentists thought that was a great idea. It lasts for a lifetime. But a lot of people now are taking mercury out of their teeth because mercury is what? Poisonous. This is an issue about poison in our water. This is an issue that people in this community do not want this put in their water. I'm so amazed that we have no fluoride in this beautiful part of the world. We have no fluoride naturally coming out of the water. So what are we doing by adding something that I think is a poison? And why are we allowing it to be medicating us against our will? I get it in my showers, I have to drink it, or I have to haul it in, which is what I've been doing for the last year. Children are drinking it against their knowledge. They do not know the harm that's happening. And it's up to the council to take a stand to say, you know what, a council decided to add fluoride to our water 25 years ago. Well, now the council needs to take time and look at this. I heard from you guys last meeting, and you said, well, I don't know, Mr. Connors, you said, I don't really know how to vote on this. And I think that we heard that from other people in the council. Some of you weren't here. Anna Klein wasn't here. And I know Joan Hansen would like to further this issue a little bit more. Please do not let it fall at this meeting and not address fluoride anymore. The other thing I brought was, I asked Mayor Badal, how can I get fluoride out of our water? And she said, well, join the Sustainability Commission and let's see what you can do with that. So I did bring it up in the Sustainability Commission, and it was voted unanimously to send a letter to the council to say that it was a non-sustainable practice. It said on number 1 through 5, it says, Fluoride is a dose that cannot be controlled. Fluoride distribution is medicine that cannot be controlled. It violates an individual right to informed consent to medication. Fluoride is not a nutrient. Fluoride can interfere with the normal function of many biological molecules like enzymes and proteins. This is a letter we had prepared and voted unanimously on as a commission for BSBY. I was called and told by the attorney at the time, who was also acting as city manager, that that was not the correct time to bring this letter to the council. Well, I'm asking the council, when is a good time to address a practice that's been on the books for 25 years? To be fair, let's just do 25 years without fluoride. That's fair. There's a lot of controversy, and it has not been settled by this council. Whether you have asked to lower it, it is not getting rid of it, and we have 400 signatures that ask to take fluoride out of the water. So please do your due diligence. The other thing is that a Harvard study showed that it was a neurotoxin, and I'm sure all of you heard that, and we've heard again that high fluoride causes fluorosis, which is a discoloration of the teeth and pockets in the teeth. If it's doing any harm to anyone, it should not be put in the water. It should not be in the water, folks. It's causing harm. And you, as council members, if you find anything is harming any member of our community, it needs to be looked at and addressed fairly. Putting it down to 0.7 parts per million is not approaching this in a fair way. Thank you.
Councilmember Klein, you had a comment.
I do. I didn't really know what Ms. Kohanic was insinuating about me not being at the last meeting. I had a family emergency right before the meeting. That's why I wasn't here. Second of all, Mr. Harris referring to this as medication, it is not medication. And when you go around and you talk to people and say, they're putting medication in our water, sure, people are going to sign it. But of these 400 signatures, there's a boatload that don't even live here in BSBY. There's quite a few from Sierra Vista. There's some from Tucson. There's some from McNeil. There's some from Palominas. So they, to say that 400 BSBY residents signed is not a true fact. There are a lot of signatures, but it is not a, they are not all from BSBY. And, you know, my mom, I will not say her age because she'd probably smack me one, but, you know, when she lived in other states, she always said she missed BSBY water. And every day she drinks BSBY water, and she's probably healthier than I am. And my great-grandmother the same way. She lived to be about 104 or 105. And she drank BSBY water every day. So I don't really think to put the fear in people about BSBY water is very fair.
Mayor?
Councilmember Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. I remember, and it's almost completely died down, but I'm going to probably queer the deal and it'll be back up. But I remember 700 plus signatures on a petition. And what I was saying at that time was, yeah, those are 700 plus people that are against what we're trying to do. But how many people didn't sign that petition? How many people were happy with what we were going through, what we were going to do? And that is, those are, that's, 400 people is a lot of, is a lot of signatures. And it's not our due, you know, it's not our due diligence to get 600 people or 1,000 or to one up it. It's our, it's my decision, and I am persuaded, I was persuaded, because I thought I wanted to do away with it, but you didn't persuade me with your gas mask on and your soapy, or your sudsy water. It was, it became a circus here. Well, and then I was listening to science, listening to people with, you know, with that are doctors, that went through med school, you know, and I listen to people who talk about the law like they know it, but they don't have the pedigree. They don't have the pedigree, and I need to believe. I was persuaded to lower it, and you know what? It's going in the right direction, and zero might be the number at some point that we add. That, you know, we just stop doing it, but as far as I'm concerned, we're going in the right direction with what I had, because I wasn't persuaded. I wanted to, for all the right reasons, I wanted to. But for all the right reasons, I'm gonna inch my way to zero. So, it's the second, you know, and we can have our nose rubbed in petitions with one signature on it, which I've seen a lot of, and petitions with 400 or 700 signatures on them. And I've been rubbed in my nose that too. But it's the people that haven't signed, you know, petitions, and people that vote for you, that ask you to represent them. And I haven't been able to represent every single person in Ward 1 every time an issue came up. But I rely on the solid information and not so much circus. You know, if this is as serious as it is, and I said, you know, I wear a respirator when I paint a house, and I'll be damned if you don't have paint on your house, and it's on your house, and it's off-gassing, whether you know it or not, and the meters that are on the side of our, you know, just because you don't have a radio turned on, radio waves are going through you. I mean, there's things that we don't know at any given time. So, everything is dangerous. So, you know, we're going in the right direction. There's two more weeks before this comes back up. It might get tabled. Who knows? We can't tell the future. But if somebody, and Joan Hansen asked if I would, you know, co-endorse this item number 7, but she didn't tell me she wasn't going to be here. So, this is Joan Hansen speaking from far away. But she was hell-bent on saying no, take it out. And she was persuaded. And she asked me to co-sponsor this item number 7, and I said I would. So I'm going through with what I said I would do, and we're going in the right direction. And if you don't like it, stick around and wait for zero. Don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle, all right? I think this is what we do. And good thing that things don't happen like that. Because bad ideas happen like that.
Just a few comments for public consumption, if you're interested in this and hearing what the public and the professionals had to say. That was on October the 4th on the City of Bisbee website. You can probably get the audio on that. And I think it would be extremely informative. I was highly impressed with the professionals, a former president of the Arizona Dental Association, Dr. Simpson, a local dentist, Dr. Long, 3 or 4 dental hygienists, a researcher for the Arizona Dental Association was here and all spoke highly in favor of fluoride.
John Keenan.
All the surgeon generals of the last 40 or 50 years strongly encourage communities to have fluoride in their water systems. Let me finish, Ms. Kohanic. And so the current surgeon general, and I did read this, and I hate to be redundant, but I think I need to read it again. Mr. Vivek Murthy, current surgeon general of the United States, says this, over the past 70 years, community water fluoridation has contributed to dramatic declines in both prevalence and severity of tooth decay, leading the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to name it as one of the 10 great public health achievements of the 20th century, alongside immunization, family planning, tobacco control, and motor vehicle safety. Water fluoridation is the best method for delivering fluoride to all members of the community, regardless of age, education, income level, or access to routine dental care. Fluoride's effectiveness in preventing tooth decay extends throughout one's life, resulting in fewer and less severe cavities. In fact, each generation born over the past 70 years has enjoyed better dental health than the one before it. Our progress on this issue over the past 70 years has been undeniable, but we still have work to do because we know that so much of our health is determined by zip code rather than the genetic code, and that is why creating a culture of disease prevention through community efforts and ensuring health equity for everyone in the community, regardless of socioeconomic concerns. That's the little last part is my words. So it covers everybody. And many members that are not from, I should say, lower income families, it is very important for them because many times they do not have the finances for routine dental care. So I think it is extremely important. And I've got a booklet here, and I'm not going to go through it, probably at least 100 world, all over the world, health organizations, including the American Medical Association, the American Dental Association, the Arizona Dental Association, many, many state organizations support fluoride in the water systems. And so all the professionals that were here, you know, if you have a serious problem, no matter what that problem might be, finance, health, or whatever, you go to the professionals. And the professionals were here, and I very much appreciated they were here, and I think they helped educate the community on the fluoride issue. I strongly believe it's absolutely essential that we have it in our water system. It's imperative. And so I'm done. Any other comments or questions from the council?
Yes.
Council Member Sullivan?
Yes, Mayor. First of all, the FDA does classify fluoride as a drug and a medication. Medication is any substance used for treatment. Fluoride in the water is for preventing cavities. It is a drug, and it is being used as a medication. We are imposing mass medication for all people in Bisbee. Not everywhere does this. Mayor just said that organizations around the world are agreeing with what he just read, and then he listed off three American organizations. They're really, I'm just frustrated because it seems like all the information you're looking at is totally coming from one side. I've looked at both sides of this from outside of the American Dental Association, from outside of the scope of what is being forced upon us, and if you take a closer look, you see that this is a very harmful substance. Also, naturally occurring fluoride is not the same thing as the chemical substance that we are applying to our water.
How is it not?
Well, for one thing, the bag of fluoride has other contaminants in it, and we have not had proof from the company that that is 100% pure sodium fluoride. That's what I asked the company for.
And that's what I suggested, that we take, you know, send it to a lab in Tucson and have it analyzed.
Well, then we should be talking about that right now. And
but
what we're talking about is the petition from Jeff Harris that's asking for either we get it out all the way or have an option for people to opt out. And until we have an option for those to opt out who are very affected by fluoride, because some people are very sensitive to it, including infants. Babies are not supposed to have this. And so talking about low-income families who are really the most susceptible to damage or whatever from cavities, well, what about the people who can't afford to buy filtered water and they're making baby formula with fluoridated water? This is so frustrating.
Mr. Mousy, would you want to come up? I believe what we put in the water is a concentration of about 45% fluoride and 55% sodium. Is that correct? Okay. That's what it is. Yeah.
What did he say?
Mr. Mousy can explain it.
The granular sodium fluoride we use, by the way, is 55% sodium.
And what is it derived from?
Those two chemicals.
And where did those come from?
You'd have to ask the manufacturers. It's sodium and fluoride.
I have asked the manufacturers.
I'm not a chemist, I couldn't tell you, but that's what...
And you're not a chemist, and neither are these dentists who we're calling the experts who don't have a full background in toxicology, which is what you need to know in order to determine what happens with these chemicals when they break down in the body beyond the teeth. Sure, they're good for the teeth, but the evidence isn't there that they're good for the body, and we are imposing it in people's bodies.
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says that there are no carcinogens in fluoride.
I'm not talking about carcinogens. I'm not saying that what fluoride is causing cancer.
What we're doing is what's we're
you're well, I just don't I want to go on record that I'm totally opposed to fluoridating, and this is coming out in places all across the United States. People are suing their cities for fluoridating water now because they have evidence that it is bad for you, and they continue to fluoridate.
What city is currently under litigation with fluoride?
Oh, let me find out for you.
Okay.
What time?
And we're not, you know, all we're doing is enforcing an ordinance that's on the books.
I know, and we put it there, and we keep it there.
Well, but we're reducing it.
And may I add, that was a suggestion, recommendation from the United States Department of Health and Human Services. They suggested that.
Mayor?
Councilmember Klein.
I just have a question. Since we all get our water from one source here, how would certain families even be able to opt out?
They have to put a RO system on their house.
I'm sorry, of what?
Reverse osmosis.
Oh, okay. So that's something that they could do now anyway, correct?
Mm-hmm. If you have a lot
but
of money.
does that mean that we need to get petitions for or get some, you know, signatures for the people that want to maintain it, and then it's just a balance? Or do we put it on, you know, everybody wants to have not everybody, but recently it seems, to put it to the people to let them vote. And you know, it is that simple, but get the signatures and then show up with $5,000 to do, you know, if you're telling us that you want to do something different than just electing somebody to represent you, and we can't represent 100% of the people 100% of the time. Or we do represent you, but we're going to upset people from time to time. But the fact of the matter that it's so frustrating to some people that we're going in that direction, but they want it now, and they want this to happen now. And you know what? I'll bet you 400 of those people were not on the other petition that I was alluding to earlier. And boy, oh boy, they didn't want that stuff flying around, you know, Bisbee, because that's toxic too. It's like we do what we do with the people that bring it to our attention. And Jenny Druckmann and the folks worked for years not just Googling things, as we've been told. You can find things on the Internet. I know that. But they did it through Cochise College, and they did it with the science department. They did it with the agricultural department. They did it outside of themselves, and they brought information to it. And then we made, you know, 5 years later, much to the chagrin to a lot of old-time council people and mayors and city managers, we did it anyway. And boy, oh boy, we've been living with that. So, you know, damned if we do, damned if we don't. And we're going in the right direction. It's called a compromise until you, don't just give me things off of the Internet, parade these folks past here. Or get affidavits from these folks, and not just one or two, but give me some more information to go on. Because I was going to vote no until all of the people talked to me and said, this is what happens as well. And nothing sinks in when you're just, you're dug in, and I love it. Because I was dug in on the last issue that you were wrapped around. Totally. So, I'm having fun here. I got two more meetings after tonight, and I'm going to have fun at every single meeting, and I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. Damn it.
Good.
Ms. Kohanic needed to say something else. Come on up.
You done with me?
Well, for the time being, we're done with you, but we might have to call you back up again.
Thank you. A couple things. I think Anna Klein, you would seem to think that I was being negative because you weren't here. I was just addressing that not everyone was here to make a vote on it or to hear people, experts, etc. So it wasn't anything negative that you couldn't be here. Of course not. It was just to say that there was a person missing at the last meeting. So am I forgiven for any? It seemed like you were taking that kind of personally, but I'm really not worried about that. Well, the other thing you brought up was that the signatures were from anyone, because anyone who comes here to a restaurant or a B&B have to take showers in fluoridated water. So we did not restrict that just to the residents. It was whoever was at our farmers markets or coming up to us when we were handing out the petitions. They were visiting, but a lot of people are coming from non-fluoridated water, and they find out there's it's fluoridated here in Bisbee. They go, oh, I got to go buy bottled water because I don't want fluoride. So I think it's a really important thing to hear from people that are not here as well as those people that are here. The other thing is that the mayor seemed to bring up how important it is for experts. Well, I remember seeing films of tobacco industry when they first came out with cigarettes, and they would have the doctors in white coats standing up very predominantly and saying how cigarettes were so important for your calmness or whatever state of mind, and smoking cigarettes were good for you. Does everybody remember that? They used experts to say that smoking was really a great thing and everybody should do it. How many years did it take to finally prove that tobacco was killing people? They showed that the corporations that were growing the tobacco were actually hiding how addictive it was. So there's a lot of evidence that show how our experts in today's day and age are actually hiding how damaging their product is. Oil industries, even doctors. People are trying to get away from doctors because all they can prescribe is radiation and chemotherapy. I don't particularly like that. I can go somewhere else because I have a choice of doing that. If you like iodized salt, you can buy iodized salt. But as a consumer, I can buy salt without iodized if I want to, because I believe that this is wrong. I do not believe in experts. Experts brought us nuclear power plants. We had Fukushima that spilled so much radiation that I don't eat any salmon anymore. Our oceans are depleted. No one writes about that in the paper. Who are our experts? They're the journalists. They're not writing about Standing Rock Camp or people that are being activists for all of these things that are being hidden by corporate agendas.
Well, Ms. Kohanic, let me ask you, are you an expert on fluoridation?
I'm an expert on my own body, and I reserve the right to take into my body what I want. And the council at this point, with this Article 9.5, is saying you do not have a right to clean water free of fluoride. Nice. We're going to serve it to you at your tap. Now, I have to haul water in, and I'm taking my own. Yes, with with this Article 9.5, you are adding fluoride.
There's a process
to the water
to do what you want to do, and you're doing it, but you're not convincing. You haven't offered every single person in Bisbee the opportunity to sign yes, keep it in there, or no, take it out. You have not provided a scientific. You're claiming something. You don't represent everybody of Bisbee.
Well, the tobacco companies.
We do.
The tobacco companies did not really protect.
We're not talking about
either.
Tobacco.
It's a good example, though.
Okay, let's just have
lots of great examples. And I just said there are lots of great examples.
The people. Experts are not.
Okay, we need to stop talking over each other. We can't record and all of that good stuff.
Okay, I'll
thank
repeat.
You.
Experts are not protecting our people. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the council? I don't think there is. I would mention to the public that might be watching this or listening to it or reading about in the newspaper for perhaps. We had a council session on October the 4th, and there were two sides to the issue. A lot of professionals will come in that I mentioned earlier. You might want to listen to that audio of October the 4th. I think it would be extremely important if you're undecided on this particular issue to hear all aspects of that. I think that would be important. It is a serious issue. Since there is no other comments or questions from the council, without objection from the council, we're going to file this petition for a possible future reference. Item number 9, discussion of possible direction to staff on a petition received from Kelly Galligan regarding the request to install speed bumps on Subway Street or determining an alternative method of effectively slowing down traffic. We will go to, if he doesn't mind, Mr. Andy Heratic, Public Works Director. I will say that
I have consulted with the Public Works Department, and they kind of recommended they need to get together with the Police Department and look at all various aspects of this particular petition. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Yes, I think that there's merit in the request to put the speed bumps, but Subway is a kind of a complicated street. And I need, as you know, when there's a traffic control change like speed bumps, that always requires a warrant from the police police department, who then, and in order to go ahead and complete that warrant, the police department will talk with Public Works and the fire department, and we'll find out what the best use of those speed bumps are. That street is particularly troublesome because it's a drainage way, and it drains, it takes five different drainage ditches, and it collects that water, and it pushes it down the street. And when it freezes in the winter, because it's a shady street, that water gathers and it stays, there are ice slicks on that road, sometimes for weeks at a time. There's other things going on with that street. I think the idea is good, but I think we have more to talk about than just the speed bumps. So I highly recommend that we spend some time with this and these speed bumps. I think there's more to do on Subway than just speed bumps, actually. So this opens the gate for a conversation.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the council? Council Member Klein.
Just a comment. In this petition, it says that the business owners have witnessed speeds of 40 plus. How can you do that on Subway?
Well, I don't know, but I would say I know that people speed, and when you're standing still, maybe it seems that quick. I agree with you, but I also agree that I would all say with those business owners in mind that there's more and more traffic coming out of the back of businesses onto that street. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's the safety issue, is that we've got people egressing onto that street without crosswalks or without sidewalks. So I guess even if they're going 30, it could be an issue because technically the speed limit on that street is 15. So if you're going 30, you've doubled it. And you could get to 30, but 40 seems a little high to me. Mm-hmm. But it's okay. I mean, sometimes when these things come forward, they're a little exaggerated because you're trying to make a point. And I'm not saying that speed bumps are a bad idea. I don't think they're a bad idea. I just think we need to look at it. There's more to look at on that street than just speed bumps is what I'm saying. And that one of my major concerns is the way the water drains so that I don't have more ice built up behind those bumps. But I think there's a bigger conversation about Subway that we need to have, and I think this opens the gate for that, and we should have it.
So in my conversations with Mr. Horadic, probably a work session will be held on this matter in November or perhaps early December, and to involve many other aspects of Subway Street. Yeah. Any question? Councilmember
Mayor, Dunn. Certainly this issue is much greater than Subway Street. I mean, I have certainly one of the more common complaints from my constituents is how can we slow down traffic? And certainly I've get repeated requests for speed bumps on different streets. So if we're going to have a work session, we need to look at all parts of the community and what are alternatives. And we have had this discussion before, but it certainly is much broader than Subway.
Yeah, and a speed bump is $500, no matter if we put it in or if we buy one. Speed bumps are $500 a piece. And I just want to say, while that doesn't seem like a lot of money, start adding up all the speed bump requests we've had in the last couple of years. We've spent $10,000 or $15,000 on speed bumps. So I would say that Albert and I are very judicious about the way we choose speed bumps, and we're not looking. We really want to make things safer, but we really need to look at it, how many we need, where we need them, and how I get the water to drain. And there's other issues with Subway, but the petition was for Subway in particular, and I did speak to the mayor and told him there were, I think we have other plans that we need to talk about for Subway. There's other things we can discuss on Subway to make it a safe street.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Horadic, Public Works Director, City of Bisbee. We will now move on to item number 10, discussion and possible direction to staff on a petition received from Donna Pulling regarding City Manager Richard Marsh. And Ms. Pulling signed up for this. And Donna Pulling.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The petition that I submitted addresses three items, and that was specifically the actions taken by the city manager that would have put the city in jeopardy by firing the finance director The second one was, I don't have the petition right here in front of me. You each have it in your packet. The second one having to do with the appointment of Monica Flores as interim executive assistant, or his executive assistant, his personal executive assistant, and the loss of the ambulance revenue, the questioning of the budget regarding that. And so I would like to address the first issue, the firing of the finance director. For 5.5 years, Mrs. Bono served the city with competence, dedication, and efficiency. She was fully supported by two city managers, two mayors, and this council, department heads, and staff. She was given annual merit raises because of her exemplary performance. We heard the city manager this evening talk about a culture and an attitude of respect within the city. And I don't believe that Ms. Bono was treated with respect. And I think that it is incumbent upon us to acknowledge the incidents that happened to Ms. Bono. And I intend to read from the memos that were given to Ms. Bono in a letter of reprimand to address the attitude of disrespect with which she was treated. According to the records request that I received of Mr. Marsh's calendar, between the dates of August 1st and August 15th, which was the day that she first received her letter of reprimand, Mr. Marsh was in the office a total of 7 days before writing that letter of reprimand. He was in the office 9 more days before terminating her at 9 a.m. on Thursday, September 8th. From the time he began on July 20th to September 8th, Mr. Morris was in the office a total of 23 days, less than a month, before terminating Mrs. Bono. I'm going to read into the record this evening this memo. It's 3 pages because I want it to be part of the public record so that this council has been informed about the attitude of culture that the city manager keeps talking about. This is a memo that was given to Ms. Bono on August 15th. This letter serves as a formal notification that effective immediately for the benefit of and in the best interest of the city of Bisbee and in light of the spending freeze I am instituting, I will be utilizing the authority granted to me in the city charter as referenced in my memo to you dated today. And I am appointing Ms. Monica Flores as interim executive assistant and permanently transferring her upstairs to this physical office location. Ms. Flores will continue, in bold, to assist the finance department with the following duties. And he goes through and lists personnel, 60%, finance, 30%, city manager, 10%. As I read earlier this evening, regarding the financial issues you mentioned in your memo dated to me, which pertain to the audit, having served as a city manager for 4 different municipalities, I am fully aware of the magnitude and importance of financial audits and how much effort it takes to prepare one. However, as you stated to me in our meeting on August 9th last year, you were successfully able to prepare for the audit by utilizing 2 of the finance personnel, yourself and Ms. Bagby. However, Ms. Bagby is left to do this all by herself this year, this month, this audit. In fact, the budget of $7.4 million with a budget of $7.4 million, you have more than adequate staff to handle this task. Unfortunately, Ms. Bagby does not. This is the final, this is the response to the letter of reprimand, point by point, that Ms. Bono delivered to Mr. Marsh on September 8th, the day she was terminated. And I am going to read this in part so that it is part of this record, but I believe each of the council member have received these memos so that you have been aware. It says, this letter serves as a formal written reprimand of your unprofessional conduct and insubordination. Per the City of Bisbee Personnel Rules and Regulations, Section 7, Subsection B2 and 3, you have engaged in rude behavior and used rude language and have been insubordinate, willfully disobedient, and have failed to follow reasonable direction from a supervisor. On July 20, 2016, I met with you in your office. During this meeting, you offered to assign Monica Flores, an accountant in finance, to my office to assist me with the day-to-day duties until, if and when, the position of executive assistant was filled. We agreed that Monica would assist me while still performing the duties she was regularly performing in her position as accountant. You specifically mentioned the duties of assisting with the timekeeping function of payroll, the ambulance payments, and debt set-off program, along with the benefits portion of the personnel director duties assigned to her some time back. In response, Ms. Bono says, a simple goodwill gesture which was misconstrued. There was never an agreement to have Mrs. Flores specifically to serve as administrative assistant for a prolonged period of time, and certainly not on a permanent basis. Her regular annual audit duties were not discussed because they did not anticipate the length of time Mrs. Flores would be providing administrative support to the city manager. Had it been made clear up front that the city manager was in need of a long-term administrative assistant, I would not have offered Mrs. Flores' services. Her position as accountant makes it necessary to the finance department, both during audit preparation and in the conduct of regular duties. Continuing on with Mr. Marsh's email, on Tuesday, August 9th, after a meeting ended between Police Chief Achave, Andy Heradic, and both of us, Monica was also present taking notes, you stayed behind for a quick conversation with me. You handed me and Monica a three-page list of items needed for the audit, 10 of which were assigned to Monica. As you and I began discussing these items, you became confrontational, unprofessional, and insubordinate. Ms. Bono's response to that. The meeting invitation subject for this meeting stated, quote, meet with Sharon and Monica regarding Gardner EIB issue, executive assistant position, and pool account. I did not stay behind for a quick conversation with you, as you were already scheduled to discuss the executive, as we were already scheduled to discuss the executive assistant position in this meeting. I came to the meeting prepared to collaborate on a plan so we could be successful and meet the needs of the city. I brought the audit schedule, which is attached to this memo, three-page list of duties, a city balance sheet, and timeline to review what needed to be accomplished. The meeting ran over without us being able to discuss the executive assistant position. I provided copies of the audit schedule and requested us to get back together again to discuss. We did not have any time to discuss the actual items. Therefore, I could not have been confrontational, unprofessional, and insubordinate, as you have stated. Continuing on with Mr. Marsh's memo, the following is a list of actions and behaviors you engaged in at this time. You stated to me that you were both the finance director and city treasurer and reported to council and to the city manager, me. Her response. During the meeting on August 9th, you specifically asked which positions had to be approved by council. We were all discussing your question. One of the positions approved by council is the city treasurer. Finance director is not. This is factual, and so I am not sure how you construed this to be confrontational, unprofessional, and insubordinate. You stated that since this goes on with Mr. Marsh, you stated that since I would be out of the office for a couple of days, you decided that Monica did not need to be working out of the executive assistant office, and you decided that she would go back downstairs and forward the phones to Nina at the city clerk's office. When I denied your decision and told you I did not agree with you changing our current agreement without consulting me, I did not agree with shutting down the city manager's office simply because I am out of the office for a couple of days. And I also referenced I had an issue with the additional new duties you have been assigning Monica since she came to work upstairs to assist me. You became argumentative and rude regarding our agreement on Monica covering the executive assistant office and duties I assigned her. The response is this from Ms. Bono. I did not make any of the decisions stated here. This conversation is taken completely out of context. I have never usurped the city manager's authority or gave Mrs. Flores contradicting instructions. I was consulting you when I suggested that it would be a good opportunity for Mrs. Flores to return to help work on audit items when you are out of the office for days at a time. This would really help to provide some relief to the other staff members in finance. I explained that the city clerk's office has traditionally covered the city manager's office and phones when the city manager was out of the office, dating back to employee cutbacks in 2007. This has been the normal operating procedures prior to your arrival, and it has been successful. For accountants, annual audit assignments are not new duties. They are duties that must be completed and are assigned by their direct supervisors. A copy of the Fester and Chapman audit checklist for year ending June 30th, 2016, the three-page checklist is attached. She goes on to continue talking about the annual audit duties were not discussed prior because, as stated previously, I did not anticipate that length of time that you intended to keep Mrs. Flores. As the finance director, I am obviously aware of the fact that Mrs. Flores's prolonged absence from her position of accountant would have an adverse impact on the performance of her regular duties, the overall preparation of the audit, and would have a negative impact to the city of Bisbee. It goes without saying that with my understanding of the importance of having a full accounting staff preparing for the audit and never intending for Mrs. Flores to serve as an extended executive assistant, the accusation of my reneging on an agreement is simply untrue. Mrs. Flores's presence at all was simply a gesture to assist the city manager during his transition. The city manager goes on to say, you started to walk away from me while I was still talking to you and refused my request to come back and allow me to finish speaking. Ms. Bono's response. The meeting had clearly ended and Mr. Tom Coble was waiting at the door. I said that I understood and exited the room. I did not refuse any request to return as I did not hear one. This misunderstanding may be due to the fact that the large portable air conditioner was running on high and is extremely loud. Mr. Marsh's continues. You allowed your anger to get the best of you, and you burst out of the office in an apparent display of anger and hostility. Ms. Bono's response. There was no anger or hostility present in my behavior. I may have been exhibiting signs of anxiety due to the inability to work out a compromise that would allow proper preparation for the audit and administrative support for the city manager's office. I was stunned that the city manager displayed such inflexibility in allocating crucial resources in order to achieve requirements and goals in the best interest of the city of Bisbee. Forcing the finance director to backfill the duties of her accountant are not in alignment with that best interest. Mr. Marsh goes on to say, first of all, you need to be aware that per the City of Bisbee Charter, Article 3, Section 3.07, the city manager, quote, shall be the administrative head of the government of the city and, subsection, quote, shall have the sole authority to control, order, and give directions to all heads of departments and to subordinate officers and employees of the city under the manager's jurisdiction. Secondly, subsection D provides that, quote, the manager shall appoint and, when necessary for the good of the city, lay off, suspend, transfer, demote, or remove all officers and employees of the city, dot, 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 subject to such merit system regulations as the council may adopt. Third, the finance director job description states, quote, under administrative direction, plans, organizes, and directs the operations and staff of the finance department, serves as the chief financial officer and treasurer of the city. Additionally, the city charter also states in Article 4, Section 4.03, Subsection A, that, quote, the city manager, with approval of the council, shall appoint an officer with the title of city treasurer. Likewise, the City of Bisbee organizational chart clearly depicts the finance department falling under the direct supervision of the city manager. It goes on. As appointed city treasurer and finance director, you are expected to conduct yourself in a professional manner at all times and respect the positions in authority over you. In capitalized letters, it says, your behavior and conduct as a department head is an example to subordinate staff as to what is expected and should be a model of what is considered acceptable behavior in the work environment. Back to regular case. The unprofessional, insubordinate conduct you have displayed, underlined, in the past week has a negative impact in the workplace and has no place in the city day-to-day activities and will not be tolerated. You must treat your supervisor, co-workers, and subordinate employees with appropriate respect. There is nothing wrong with disagreeing. However, it must be done in a respectful manner. Ms. Bono's response, there was no unprofessional or insubordinate conduct, as was stated by the city manager. His current style of management is inflexible and intimidating, bordering on bullying techniques. On August 8th, the city manager stated that, quote, I am not a tyrant and, quote, will not just take an employee. His actions directly contradicted that statement. As finance director, I respectfully disagreed with this decision, and knowing that such a decision was counter to what was best for the city of Bisbee, I refused to change my position. This led to coercion tactics on the part of the city manager. It would be irresponsible for any finance director to release an accountant just prior to an audit without preparations complete. Once the audit preparations are complete, the transfer of duties or positions should be transacted with minimum impact to other employees and departments. I have always been respectful to all people that I encounter professionally, including those in positions of authority. Prior Bisbee City managers have praised my professional performance and I would like to make a note, as has this council, and granted performance-based raises. In fact, in a professional career that spans over three decades, this is the only time that a disciplinary measure has ever been taken. Mr. Marsh continues, please be advised that if immediate and sustained improvement in your behavior is not realized, you will be subject to further disciplinary action up to and including termination of employment. Her response. This statement is vague and does not state how the city manager will measure improvement, nor does it define what steps I can take to ensure improvement in behaviors that he deemed unacceptable. The tone and severity of the letter of reprimand shows that the city manager was incredibly angry and has created a hostile work environment. The tone of this memorandum also shows the depth of said anger, sarcasm, and arrogance as he makes unfounded allegations against the prior city manager, Justin Johnson, and myself as finance director. And those allegations were listed in the August 16th memorandum that says there was a possible loss of ambulance revenues. There's a problem with the fire department overtime budget, and there was a lack of personnel director. Mr. Marsh goes on to say, as appointed city treasurer and finance director and part of the leadership personnel in the city of Bisbee, you should support and assist in the goal of integrating succession planning throughout our organization, as well as encourage all employees to become active and willing participants. Succession planning is critically important to the city's continued future and success in order to be able to adapt to change quickly. We must learn to utilize the knowledge, education, and experience of staff identified based on their capacities and talent. These employees should not be kept to any one specific department, but current leadership should be willing to allow them to be placed in positions throughout the organization, which will allow them to use their skills and talent to benefit the city as a whole. As a department head, you should be willing to utilize this powerful tool to the fullest extent in order to help contribute to positive organizational transformation within the city of Bisbee. Ms. Marsh's response, succession planning.
Ms. Pulling, you've been going on, we're approaching 25, 30 minutes.
I'm on the last page.
Okay.
I think it's important this be read in the record.
Continue.
Ms. Bono's response, succession planning is always critical to any organization, and I have always supported it. I work closely with my staff to set and obtain goals. In such a small city like Bisbee, we have limited human resources available. In Bisbee, succession planning must include how to backfill the gaps left behind to ensure that the critical tasks continue to be performed and the services to the community continue to be provided. As Mrs. Flores' direct supervisor, I have had succession talks with her upon employment and again when her status changed to full-time employee on June 1st. On May 9, during a special session budget meeting, the City Council was informed that finance would be increasing the part-time accountant to full-time status to focus on revenue collection, specifically TPT collections. Mrs. Flores went from a part-time status to full-time status. The next logical step in the succession plan is to general ledger accountant to finance director and beyond, if the employee wishes. After working with Mrs. Flores for only 11 days, the city manager identified Mrs. Flores for succession planning. On August 8th, the city manager had a discussion with me about Mrs. Flores, during which he was unusually excited about working with this employee. Some of his comments may be taken as unprofessional and made me somewhat uncomfortable. Among them was the statement, quote, It was like being married. She anticipates my every need. He mentioned that since she had a college degree...
Ms. Pulling, you've gone 30 minutes, and I think you're being incredibly redundant right now. I don't know what the council thinks about this. How much longer are you going to continue? Councilmember Dunn, do you have a comment?
I agree with you.
Okay.
I've had enough.
I've had enough, too. You need to wrap it up like in 1 minute or less.
He mentioned that since she had a college degree, she would be a good city manager. Mrs. Flores was recently made... Mrs. Flores has recently been made a full-time employee and has only 14 months of municipal experience. Placing such weight on succession planning for a person less than three weeks in office is definitely not in the best interest of the city of Bisbee.
I have a question for Ms. Orduña. She's talking about another employee without that employee's knowledge.
That's the extent of the memo that I wanted to have read into the record.
The documents that she's reading from were provided through a public records request. The documents are public record. So there's nothing that prevents her from reading them in the public, into the public record. This also isn't... This proceeding here in no way impacts that employee's job status or anything like that. This is about her petition. She's decided to request these documents to public record, and now she's reading them into the record. She's able to do that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is she able to do that at the mayor's okaying that, or can it just be, you know, submitted? Can the rest of it just be submitted to the record?
Are you done now?
I am finished.
She's done.
Okay. Council is certainly welcome to make some comments, but I'm going to go first. And let me state, and I'm going to be very brief. Let me state my thoughts in regard to the city manager. Mr. Marsh has done a fabulous job in the 3 months he's been here. And as an example, the MOU that was done with the hospital and Arizona Ambulance, Mr. Marsh works hard, often in his office after 8 p.m. at night, and that's not just once in a while, that's all the time. Employee morale is very good. I come down to City Hall every day, and that's what I see. I look at Mr. Marsh in the highest regard, and he has my 100% support, and I'm very impressed with his efforts. Anyone on the council, you're certainly welcome to comment if you like. Councilmember Dowdy.
I, too, am down at City Hall quite a bit, and I have talked to the employees, and all of them that I have talked to have given very favorable comments on Mr. Marsh. They all like him. They said the morale has increased with Monica and her position. So I have to say that.
I believe this city is very fortunate to have Mr. Marsh as its city manager. Councilmember Dunn, did you have a comment?
Well, I certainly was very much saddened when Mrs. Bono was fired. She certainly, when situations like this happen, and they do happen in organizations, we've all served as managers, many of us have. And so I was very much saddened because certainly Ms. Bono has contributed much to this city and way beyond the call of duty. And I conveyed that personally to her, and I conveyed again. And I'm sad that things like this have to happen. I also agree that Mr. Marsh has the united support of this council. Certainly the things you're describing here are, he is the administrative head of the city. It's not our role to micromanage this city. And certainly people have questioned my managerial decisions likewise. I did make them, and again, this is a sad moment for me because I certainly very much appreciate what Ms. Bono has contributed to this city, and I don't in any way want to get into this. I don't like this at all in terms of this discussion because it's an unfortunate situation. Again, I want to reinforce that Mr. Marsh does have the full support of this council. So.
Mayor?
Council Member Connors.
Yeah, I too. I'm
going to just ape what Mr. Dunn said. I love Sharon Bono, but I don't run the city. I just don't. And at the end of the day, Mr. Marsh is the boss. And I wasn't, you know, and I don't spend my days down here because I have to paint houses. I got to work. So, and I wasn't privy to the tone, the tenor. I wasn't privy to the nuances of conversations that were, you know, that happened, you know, behind closed doors or in open rooms, in front of people, behind people's back. But I, you know, I've read a pretty crappy email. Richie did it again, slipping and sliding, shucking and jiving. This is a support. Someone got to him. This is an email from Peter von Gundlach describing the city manager that we have. The first lines right out of the bat. Now, did he say those the way I just read them? Perhaps not. But there's a lot of things that we just don't know what goes on, because he's the boss, and Justin was the boss before that, and Steve Paukin was the one before that. And Steve Paukin had a pretty steely hand on this town, on the staff here, and you didn't talk up to him, you know. I know, because I heard him speak to a mayor that was sat the same time I was sat. I was in the room, and I heard him say the things that he said, because he was the boss. He did what he had to do. And I support Mr. Marsh, and I can love Sharon Bono at the same time, but he's the boss. So, you know, I support him. We hired him, and, you know, we can revisit this in 3 months when his we can have this all behind closed doors, and we can talk about whatever we want to talk about as far as that goes. But I'm done.
Mayor.
Councilmember Klein. Mayor Pro Tem Klein.
Well, as you know, everybody has stated, you know, we do have the charter form of government that clearly lays out what our duties are and our city manager's duties are. And I mean, if we just go back to our previous city manager, there was also a department, well, there were several of them, but one department head that was let go, and the public did try to appeal to us. However, we had no say-so in any of that, because that's not our job, our duty. Mm-hmm. It is clearly the city manager's, and we had a petition on that one as well, and it wasn't laid out quite like this one was, but still, it, the bottom line is that it is the city manager's job and duty to run the city, and unfortunately, when you are a department head, or at least with the city, but if you're in another company and you're in a management position, you are not protected by things that the rank and file are, and when you get into management, you understand that, and there's always that risk that, you know, you can be let go for a reason or no reason, and we really can't infringe on what his duties are.
Any other comments from the council?
No. Without objection from the council, we will file this petition for possible future reference.
Thank you.
Next, we will go to item number 11,
the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor, City Council. I'll be real brief. I just wanted to report out on the meeting I had with Councilwoman Martha McSally in her office. We have a friend in Council, Congresswoman Martha McSally. She's very supportive of Bisbee. We talked about the U.S. and Mexico relations in terms of tourism, trade, commerce, and also event planning. We had a conversation in length regarding the Border Patrol and Homeland Security. And also, finally, we talked extensively regarding her being in support of grant applications that we may be submitting onto the federal government. The most recent one was from the fire department. But she's She is a very, very strong supporter of Bisbee. In fact, as Cynthia mentioned, she was here for the Bisbee 1000, and I had a chance to spend some more time with her there. And I look forward to strengthening our relationship that we have with her. That's all I have. And I want to thank the mayor and the council for your support. I want to thank our staff for what you do to keep the city of Bisbee moving, and I want to thank our citizens for continually to engage us, and we appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We have one council member comment. Council member Dowdy.
Oh, this is going to be a happy note. I would like to recognize one of our sanitation workers, Sergio Rivera. Sergio goes above and beyond his regular duties. He's one of a kind. There are many people in Bisbee that are either handicapped or elderly, and he stops his sanitation truck. He goes into their yards and with their permission and takes the rollout. What are they called?
Dumpster.
And takes them out to the curb and dumps them, returns them to their place in the people's yards. Never complains, just does it every day, every garbage day or sanitation day, I should say, not garbage day. And I just want everybody to know that this gentleman does it all the time, and it's very much appreciated. And people like this never get recognition. Nobody ever says thank you. And Sergio, I want to say thank you. This is on behalf of everybody that you help.
And you don't have to share it with anybody.
He doesn't have to share it with anybody.
Thank you, Sergio. Do we have a motion?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.